In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you haven't picked up on this yet, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday of Easter is traditionally known by this name. It's not a formal feast day, it's a nickname we give because of our readings. We read the 23rd Psalm, and depending on the year, a portion of the 10th chapter of John. Last year, we read perhaps the most well-known verses from the middle of the chapter, in which Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." And the year before, we read from the end of John 10, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." Central to our readings on Good Shepherd Sunday is a metaphor, which Roy Heller defined for us this past Lent as a figure of speech that describes an object or action in a way that's not directly true, but helps explain or unpack a complex idea. "The Lord is my shepherd" is a metaphor, which implies a second. I am, we all are, sheep. On Good Shepherd Sunday, these two metaphors working together unpack the many ways in which God provides for our needs, leading us to water and places of refreshment and protection, feeding us, dwelling with us. This year, we read from the beginning of John 10, in which Jesus, laying the foundation for the shepherd-sheep metaphor, introduces another metaphor, which perhaps rings differently in our ears, the gate. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep." I understand Jesus as shepherd. Jesus as gate? Not so much. At least I'm in good company. John the Evangelist assures Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. I feel like a lot of people throughout the centuries have not understood what Jesus is saying to them in this text. It seems to me that this is so because of the associations we have when we hear the metaphor of Jesus as gate. The American Heritage Dictionary defines a gate, first definition, as a structure that can be swung, drawn, or lowered to block an entrance or passageway. Consider the gates in our lives. At the age of 10, I moved from Dallas to Troy, Michigan, and I was surprised to find no fences or gates around the houses in our community. We kids could play hide and seek unhindered in the backyards of an entire block of homes. Here in Dallas, so many of us have pools, this would not work. The gate across the driveway of our home and the fence around the back keep uninvited people, some of whom cannot swim, out of our backyard and our pool. When I visit someone in the hospital, most of the time, a gate blocks my way into the parking lot. And it keeps me out unless I take a ticket. And once inside, it keeps me there until I pay. What I'm saying is that many of us, most of us, experience gates as boundaries, as barriers, as ways to keep out threatening things and people. Uninvited pool users, unpaying parkers. When we first read today's gospel, especially if we are feeling vulnerable, threatened, longing for security, all we see are walls, barriers, boundaries, and separation. That's what a fence with a gate is, isn't it? And Jesus' reference to thieves and bandits and strangers who kill and destroy only reinforces this impulse to hear Jesus speaking words of exclusion, serving not as gate, but gatekeeper. Reverend Whitney Rice, canon for evangelism and discipleship in the Diocese of Missouri, notes how frequently people use today's text to enforce false boundaries to shore up their own power or viewpoint, labeling as the proverbial thieves and bandits anyone they judge to be unorthodox, whether that's because of their gender, sexuality, race, belief, politics, etc. We see this same impulse in far too many interpretations of Jesus' loving words to Thomas in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Interpretations which insist that Christians, and only the right ones, have exclusive access to God, and that everyone else, regardless of their faithful adherence to another religious tradition, will be left behind. The mindset behind interpretations like these is scarcity. Only some will be saved because maybe there's not enough room for everyone. And underlying the scarcity mindset and its interpretation of Scripture is a fear that Jesus doesn't really love everyone, won't save everyone. And that fear comes with a desperation for assurance that I'm in, even if that means that you're not. I am the gate for the sheep. A wise friend once taught me that we need to be very careful about metaphors we use for God, even those we find in Scripture. Remember our working definition. A metaphor is a figure of speech that describes an object or action in a way that's not directly true, but helps explain or unpack a complex idea. Sometimes we push these comparisons too far, forgetting that metaphors are, by definition, limited, that no metaphor is true in every sense. When we do this, at best, the metaphor we're using no longer helps explain or unpack a concept. In many cases, it hinders, it wounds. Instead of helping those who seek to know God, their shepherd, better, broken metaphors drive seekers whose faith can be tenuous away. So let's think more about gates and their purpose. While it is true that gates can be used to block entrances and passageways, if one desires nothing more than to block, one has no need of a gate. A fence or wall will do the trick, won't it? We interrupt certain fenced or walled enclosures with gates precisely because we desire movement in and out of these enclosures. Fences and walls are the blockades. Gates are means of entry and exit. To avoid the pitfalls of the gate metaphor, we must read today's passage in concert with the rest of John 10. For the shepherd and the gate work together for the good of the sheep. At certain times, the sheepfold is the best place for sheep. At night, when they are ill, when predators surround and threaten to destroy them, the sheepfold provides a place of refreshment and protection. And yet, if we've learned anything from our experience of pandemic, we know that being penned inside our respective sheepfolds for too long can make us anxious, depressed, and disconnected. We need a gate to allow us out into green pastures and beside still waters. And we need a shepherd who will operate that gate and lead us out. This is what Jesus offers us as gate and shepherd: safety, rest, and protection in times of need or threat, and invitation into and leadership through the wider world where we enjoy freedom and connection and community in spite of the risks and dangers. So friends, let us listen to the voice of the shepherd who is also the gate. When we do, we will hear him telling us, "When I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly."